The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
No matter which side of the fence people have been on, they've been saying, show me the evidence. I'll believe it when I see the evidence. And people on both sides agree that something went terribly wrong in November 2020, but there really has been no comprehensive place to see the evidence of widespread fraud. Until now. In the early hours of November 4th, 2020, Democratic candidate Joe Biden received several major vote spikes in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Georgia, suddenly placing him in the lead when he had been trailing Trump by a significant margin. 8,954 individual vote updates were analyzed. Across nearly all updates, there follows a clear statistical pattern. However, a very small number of batches are especially questionable. The four most notable aberrations were two in Michigan, one in Wisconsin, and one in Georgia. And all occurred in the same five-hour window, in the middle of the night, when in some places counting reportedly had stopped. Not only do these updates not follow generally observed patterns, but their behavior is particularly extreme. The extents of these four vote spikes in question are more than the margin of victory in all three states, which means the spikes were not only abnormal in regards to percentage for Joe Biden, but also in magnitude of the vote count. Out of roughly 9,000 updates, this election was decided by only four extreme updates, each with a probability of less than 0.1%, meaning that had these four unlikely updates not happened, we would have a different president in the White House. The strangest anomaly visible in the data is a consistently identical ratio of Biden to Trump votes across time, which is theoretically impossible. It is well known and not disputed that Diebold's software was found to be switching votes through programming in past elections. Even though Diebold is no longer used, Dominion Voting Systems acquired ESNS in 2010, which had previously acquired Diebold under its new name of Premier Election Solutions. This does not exhaust all statistical data anomalies encountered in the 2020 election. But data anomalies is only one factor to consider. Next is eyewitness and video evidence. In Georgia, there's a case of a poll worker named Ruby who was seen on Instagram giving a secretive live video of her working in the back room filled with absentee ballots.
I'm gonna let y'all see this. Okay, don't say nothing. Listen, look.
At 10:30 p.m. on November 3rd, all media and poll watchers were told to leave State Farm Arena because ballot counting was going to stop. But Ruby and her daughter and three others remained behind at State Farm Arena. They pulled boxes of ballots out from under the table that was placed there in the morning and distributed them to several counting stations.
Back to Fulton County, Georgia right now, where our reporter Blaine Alexander apparently has some new reporting on the expectations for that count.
Well, Rachel, we've learned that the counting continues tonight. You know, right here in State Farm Arena behind me, we've learned that there are five people who are still inside, still working to scan those absentee ballots and try and get those numbers tabulated. Now, initially, we believe we were told that everybody went home at about 10:30, but I just got off the phone with the county spokesperson who tells me that indeed there are still some people in there quite literally burning the midnight oil, scanning ballot after ballot and trying to get that information in.
And Blaine, specifically, you said five people are inside that building? That's five of five actual individuals who are working on all the absentees in Fulton County right now? Just five? Wow. Talk about having the sort of fate of the nation in your hands.
Then there is cybersecurity evidence and the question of whether Dominion voting machines were tampered with over internet connections. Signed affidavits under oath from cybersecurity experts indicate that Dominion Voter Systems and Edison Research were using an unencrypted VPN with login credentials that were easily accessible and used by foreign adversaries to monitor and manipulate votes. Unfortunately, what we have covered is only the tip of the iceberg on fraud, cover-ups, federal election law violations, and dishonesty on a global scale. Recent polls show an overwhelming percentage of the U.S. don't trust the 2020 election was without fraud.
There you go. That's a video from December of 2020. Mike Lindell played it at his election summit earlier this morning. And he said it's not even known who produced that video, but back then when you couldn't come forward with messages like that, of course that video was very, very quickly blotted out of social media, He played it, Mr. Lindell did. He played it again for his summit this morning, and we wanted to give you just a little snippet of it here today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at trumpetdaily.com. You can also get to all of the shows that are posted after the fact. And also, you can go over to our Rumble channel. Just go to The Trumpet Daily at Rumble, and I believe you can just do the /, and then The Trumpet Daily after that to get to the channel and join our active live chatting that goes on every day at 11 a.m. in the Central Time Zone of the United States. You can also leave us some feedback at the end of the program if you like. And if you're there, if you're at the Rumble channel, make sure that you give us a thumbs up Rumble. A little bit of housekeeping yet again. We're just days away. It's hard to believe. It's already the middle part of the week. And General Flynn and his entourage will be coming in on Sunday. And we'll be spending some time with them Sunday evening. Of course, the concert Sunday afternoon, the Celtic Throne Encore. But then General Flynn on Monday, that's just a few days away now, he'll be on this very program Monday morning at 11 a.m. in the Central Time Zone of the United States. And then, of course, he has the speaking engagements Monday afternoon at 2 p.m. That's for the youth of the Edmond area, middle schoolers and high schoolers that are going to be coming in from around Edmond to hear the general talk about the attack on our young people in our society. And then, of course, the main event, that's Sunday night, 6 p.m. Just go to the website, thetrumpet.com. You can get tickets to the event. Right there in the upper left-hand corner of our website, it takes you to the seating grid, and you can choose seats for Monday night's event. That's Monday night at 6 p.m. I think we've already got nearly 500 people that are going to be attending the Monday event. So there's that, and as I say, there's an encore performance of Celtic Throne. Just go to CelticThrone.com, and you can get, this is your last opportunity to watch Celtic Throne in this season. We'll see what happens next summer, I suppose. But this is the last performance for a good while. So make sure if you're anywhere near the central Oklahoma region that you come see us for both of these events. So the evidence of fraud, it's still coming out. You'll recall the story from Michigan. The attorney general, the progressive attorney general in Michigan, who only recently admitted that there was a full-on investigation into the voter fraud registration, 8,000 to 10,000 ballots. I'll get to that story here in just a second. But if you think about, you know, one thing you've got to do, you may not like Mike Lindell's speaking style, although this morning it was much better. I think he was sticking to the script a little bit better. So there was more focus in his message, but you have to give that man credit for just drawing attention to the fraud. And of course, one point that he was making this morning is it's very similar to what we've made in America Under Attack, in that it is God's purpose and plan to expose the evil, to expose the lawlessness. God is behind this. And one of the points that Mike Lindell made is that, you know, if Donald Trump would have just scooted on through for re-election, we wouldn't have seen just how many corrupt actors there are, how many traitors there are on both sides of the aisle. I'll play you some clips, some incredible clips from Jeff Duncan. He's the former lieutenant governor of Georgia. I mean, he loves Fannie Willis, and the left-wing progressive communist prosecutor. He loves Fannie Willis, Jeff Duncan. He's a Republican, and he hates him some Donald Trump. He despises Trump. He's talking about this being an opportunity, the Fannie Willis indictment, that this is an opportunity for us, the Republican Party, he says, to hit the reset button. Come on, we need another start. We need to move beyond Trump. Yeah, he thinks Fannie Willis's efforts are pretty professional. Yeah, and the grand jury asked a lot of really intellectual questions, said Jeff. This is from Just the News, that Michigan story. Michigan Attorney General acknowledges investigation into 2020 potential voter fraud and that she referred it to the FBI. Oh, great. The FBI showed up. The FBI showed up and promptly covered up that there ever was an investigation. It says here, the Attorney General's office confirmed that among 8,000 to 10,000 voter registration forms submitted to the Muskegon clerk before the 2020 general election, that some were suspected to be fraudulent. She confirmed it finally. I mean, it took Gateway Pundit finally came out with the big reveal last week. And so here comes the progressives reluctantly saying, well, yeah, there was, I guess there was an investigation. But, you know, there wasn't enough fraud to overturn the results. They shifted to that argument pretty quickly. As soon as evidence started piling in of wrongdoing, as soon as affidavits started piling high, sworn affidavits coming from thousands of witnesses. It says here, nearly 3 years after the 2020 presidential election, Americans are still learning facts about possible nationwide voter fraud. We're still finding out the truth. We're still learning more facts that were covered up before, confirming what that opening video brought out in December of 2020. You know, Mike Lindell was up there this morning at his summit, and he was saying, you know, Rudy Giuliani, he was supposed to attend this summit, but he just got indicted. You talk about perfect timing. They do not want people even attending an event in Springfield, Missouri. Stay away. Stay away. Ken Paxton, he exposed what happened in Texas during the 2020 election, how that he just barely prevented fraud on a mass scale. Yeah, he gave a speech at the Heritage Foundation back in April. We played clips for you, I think, on May the 8th. And then guess what happens 2-3 weeks after? After Ken Paxton exposes fraud in Texas. Well, he gets impeached. There's plenty of good rhinos in Texas, in Austin, Texas, just like there are in Georgia. And Jeff Duncan, Brian Kemp, Brad Raffensperger, Gabe Sterling, all leading the way. They hate Trump. They hate Trump. And they love Stacey Abrams. They love Fannie Willis. They love the cheaters. They love the stealers. They think the same way. Just get rid of Trump. Alan Dershowitz is right. Get Trump. That's the movement. And there's plenty on both sides of the aisle, as I say, that really are carrying out that agenda. How does Jeff Duncan read that indictment from Fannie Willis and say, yeah, I think it's pretty professional? It says here, an organization turned in some thousands of voter registrations throughout the fall of 2020. This is in Michigan. Estimated on the high end to be cumulatively 8,000 to 10,000, and some within those batches were found to be suspicious or fraudulent, says the spokesman from the Michigan AG's office. They're now coming out and admitting it. Well, yeah, there was some fraud, but, you know, not a lot. I mean, it was okay, maybe it wasn't perfect, like Chris Krebs said. Maybe our machines are they're just perfect. There's no way hackers could ever get in there. And of course, 2 seconds before the election, you had every Democrat there was practically lining up to say that, look, the machines are easily hackable. We've proven it. There have been studies. We've had students even do it. But then as soon as they steal, they complete the steal, and then now, I mean, you can't even talk about election fraud. If you talk about it, you're a conspiracy theorist. Worse than that, you're committing conspiracy. That's what Fannie Willis has all through her indictment. Because Donald Trump wanted the phone numbers of two legislators in Pennsylvania, why, he was conspiring. He was trying to get their phone numbers. That's actually in the indictment. I'll get to that in a second. Listen to this little clip from a local Georgia news report. This was 2 months before the presidential election in 2020. Clip two.
Secretary of State Brett Raffensperger says double voting could be a major problem in November. He held a press conference this morning to discuss election security, saying there are those trying to game the system.
Secretary of State says 1,000 people double voted in the June primary. He says each of those voters will be investigated. Raffensperger is now looking toward the November election. He says historically 5% of the state's votes have been cast by absentee ballots. As of today, he says they're predicting nearly 50% of votes will be cast that way in November, about 900,000 votes. Raffensperger claims the 1,000 people who double voted knew what they were doing and were trying to game the system.
We know one person was bragging about it down in Long County, and we'll be investigating all 1,000, and we'll get to the bottom of it.
Now, Raffensperger says double voting is a felony that could land you in prison up to 10 years. You could also be fined up to $100,000.
Wow, I wonder what happened to those thousands. Well, let's just keep it at 1,000. Were any of them ever punished for double voting? You'll notice that this happened in the primaries, but thankfully, everyone wised up in one of the most hotly contested elections ever in American history. Everybody wised up. Everybody got super duper righteous. Nobody cheated in 2020, the presidential election. It was just perfect. I mean, Jeff Duncan said it was. Notice in that report that she said traditionally absentee ballots are capped to about 5% of the vote. This November, however, it's going to be 50%. Why 50%? Well, because of COVID. You can't go outside. You're going to die if you go outside. So absentee ballots all over the place. Just try to go with me on this logically. If there's that many more absentee ballots than there were in the primaries, 5% to 50%, and so many more people voting because it's the presidential election. Do you think there would be less fraud than that 1,000 that had duplicate votes? Or do you think there would be more? Did Joe Biden win Georgia by just 11,000 something votes? That's right. But no need to look into this. The investigation, we did look into it. Everything was above board. It was the most secure election in history. Listen to this from Tucker Carlson. I don't remember the exact date. This is now after. You saw the local report in Georgia before the election. This is sometime after. And here's Tucker, clip 3.
At least 36 batches of mail-in ballots from the November election were double counted in Fulton County. That's a total of more than 4,000 votes. Those numbers come from a group called Voter GA, which along with Bob Chile sued to get them. The final tally from the double counts we know about amounts to more than 3,300 votes for Joe Biden and 865 votes for Donald Trump.
So you have the same ballot counted twice in the images and counted in the audit. How that's possible, I don't know.
Every American should want to know, because the answer gets to the heart of the integrity of our elections, otherwise known as our democracy. We're not talking about a couple of ballots here. We're talking about a lot of ballots, at least hundreds of ballots involved, enough potentially to affect the outcome of the election. Here's what the audit found. Quote, the 7 batches of ballot images with 554 votes for Joe Biden, 140 votes for Donald Trump, and 11 votes for Joe Jorgensen had tally sheets in the audit falsified to show 850 votes for Biden, 0 votes for Trump, and 0 votes for Jorgensen. Wait, did you just follow that? How is that not flat-out criminal fraud? We'd love to know, because it certainly sounds like flat-out criminal fraud. We've obtained photographs showing what went on during the recount process for mail-in ballots in Fulton County. These pictures were taken by a whistleblower who participated in the recount. She said she noticed something odd, as she did. None of the ballots that she saw had any creases on them. You can see the stacks of unfolded ballots on your screen now. That's strange because, of course, mail-in ballots need to be bent in order to be mailed in. These ballots clearly had never been inside an envelope. And then the whistleblower noticed something else. All of the ballots, the whistleblower tells us, have been filled out by a printer, not by hand. And many of them supported the exact same candidates, Democrats, including Joe Biden. That nearly 35,000 Georgia voters moved out of their county of residence more than a month prior to Election Day. they were ineligible to vote. And yet they did. They still voted in their old county. That is illegal. Why are we okay with that? Why are we okay with any of this? Well, we're okay with it because we've been told we have to be okay with it. We're undermining democracy if we ask questions about what happened during the 2020 election. So let's find out what actually happened. Let's find out immediately. Let's find out without shame. It's our right to know. It's our responsibility to know.
You can see there the date. That's July of 2021. We probably played clips of that back at the time. But here he is. Thousands. Now you're getting to the presidential election. Thousands of duplicate votes. Fraud being exposed. Whistleblowers coming forward. And yet, the only one now, really, that's still raising awareness of what happened back then. Mike Lindell, maybe a few others. But as he said here this morning, I mean, he wanted Giuliani to come to the summit, and Giuliani was planning to, as was Ken Paxton. But Ken Paxton's coming under heavy pressure from the Texas House and Senate to stay. He's being investigated. They want to shut him up. They don't want him to go to us. They don't want him drawing attention to fraud. You're just supposed to keep quiet about it. With Lindell, well, maybe we can make fun of him, the pillow guy, and all those jokes. We can dismiss it by just saying he's a fool. Evidence is all around, and more is turning up. The indictment, the fourth one, it's over the phone call that Donald Trump and his associates, his advisors made to Raffensperger and his people. And if you remember that, this goes back to, I mean, the phone call happened in early January 2020, but then there was the big reveal. There was the big reveal in the Washington, or the leak. The leak. They all, the progressives, they know how to leak. And they leaked to the right people, New York Times, Washington Post, wherever. And supposedly Trump is on the phone and he's telling these two or this team led by Raffensperger to go find 11,000 votes so that he could overturn the election. In fact, he was saying, look, the evidence of foul play is being destroyed. You need to act on this. We wrote about it at the Trumpet. It says here, United States President Donald Trump called Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger on January 2nd, that would be 2020. He wanted to discuss fraud and the fraud that took place in the state during the November 3rd presidential election. It says the Post and other outlets zeroed in on this statement by the president. So look, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, because we won the state. It says here, the Post sliced out this three-sentence moment from a call that lasted more than an hour and is currently repeating the quote and amplifying it ad infinitum. It says, the phone call does contain wrongdoing, but it's not by President Trump. What is the context of those few sentences? Well, we go on and give the context. I don't guess I need to read it all. But it's basically Donald Trump saying, you better investigate this. There's corruption here. It's kind of like the phone call to Zelensky. They impeached him for that. Now they're indicting him for this. Because he called Brad Raffensperger and he says, they're destroying the evidence of fraud. Look at all these duplicate votes. Look at all of these people from out of state voting. Look at all of these dead people voting. Says here, is this President Trump, this is after we give the context, is this Trump pressuring Raffensperger to commit voter fraud? The context doesn't indicate that. He wants Raffensperger's team to investigate voter fraud because he's confident that those who are committing fraud are those who are working against him. It says on that same call, he said, we just want the truth. See, the Washington Post is never going to quote that part. We just want the truth. It's kind of like what he said at the Ellipse on January 6th. We're going to go up there and we're going to protest and do it peacefully. No violence. They leave that bit out. And then they frame the indictment just so, whether it's Jack Smith or Fannie Willis. These people, the way they use words, I was saying in doctrines class this morning as we were going through the Word of God, That's what a doctrine is. It's the teaching, the instructions of God. And your Bible says that we ought to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that we ought to be really hungry and thirsting for God's knowledge. It's just such a beautiful thing when you see someone like Samuel, a teenager, trained as a prophet of God. And he wouldn't let one of God's words fall to the ground. He wanted to consume every single one. He loved the truth of God. You use the words of God the right way. You don't take them out of context. You use them the way God intends for them to be used. And it's very powerful. It's very persuasive. It's life-changing. But look at the way words are framed deceitfully, dishonestly. Look at how often quotes are taken out of context. Listen to this from Jeff Duncan. He's talking about how, I mean, basically he says the silent part out loud. This is basically him saying, you know what? We're all the uniparty here, and we just need to get rid of Trump. And then, you know, we can work with Fannie Willis and Stacey Abrams in Georgia. Brian Kemp, yeah, we can reach across the aisle and we can all get along. We can get things done. But it's Trump who threatens us. So get him out of the way. Clip 4.
This feels different. You know what? Donald Trump did his most damage in Georgia. He sucked the soul out of the Republican Party here. He sucked the morality out of the Republican Party, the fiscal responsibility out of the Republican Party. He sucked our winning percentage out of the Republican Party. He's taken everything from us, and it is our turn to take it back, right? It's our turn to win elections based on the policies that we think we're better on. This is the prime spot for us to take Joe Biden to the woodshed and call him out for not running the border right, not protecting our communities, not putting our best foot forward internationally. These are our moments in time. But if we make this about the three-ring circus of Donald Trump, we will lose, lose, and lose again.
Wow, I mean, I guess he's even sucked the morality out of the Republican Party. He's basically taking a victory lap there. Finally, we got him. This is the day after the indictment from Fannie Willis. And there he is saying, hey, we got to hit the reset button. We got to move on. Donald Trump, he's a loser. He sucks the life out of us. He sucks the morality out of us. Now, these 4,000 people that did the double voting, they're pretty good people. I guess there's a high standard of morality there. But Trump is bad. He's evil. He's evil. What did he do? Well, he made a phone call. Mark Meadows made a phone call to get two phone numbers from Pennsylvania legislators. So obviously there was a conspiracy going on. It's in Fannie Mae's indictment. Fannie Willis, sorry. Fannie Mae, that's the, what's that, the mortgage company? I get him confused. It's in her indictment. This is from Just the News. Well, it's speaking of Ken Paxton. So he was scheduled to go to this election summit in Missouri. But no, he comes under some heavy pressure. I mean, he's being impeached and investigated. You stay away from Lindell. And all this talk about the election being stolen, that's now illegal. So say these indictors, so say these prosecutors. Listen, if you even say the election, well, there was fraud and the result wasn't right, it might be that you're going to be convicted and go to prison. So as I say, Paxton gives this speech at Heritage Foundation back in April. He lays it out. This is what was happening in Texas. Here's how we prevented the fraud. I even tried to warn Donald Trump of what was coming, of what was happening. So then just a few weeks after that speech gets some publicity, then here come those rhino Republicans. Here comes the Uniparty seeking revenge. You don't talk about an election steal. This is from Just the News. The Texas House voted Saturday, this is back in May, to impeach Republican Attorney General Ken Paxton, 121 to 23. I should have gotten the breakdown, but how many Republicans then joined the progressives, the communists? 21 to 23. It says under the Texas Constitution, Paxton will have to step aside temporarily as the process plays out. So he's been suspended. The Senate will now take it up. Listen to this. Paxton is under investigation by the FBI for allegedly misusing his office to assist a donor. He's misused his office. Well, that sounds familiar. Can you think of anyone, maybe someone even higher profile than Ken Paxton, that might have misused his office to line the pockets of whether himself or a donor or a family member? That's going on all across D.C. It's happening in the White House. It's happening in the Oval Office. But Ken Paxton, just listen to the language. He misused his office to assist or to help a donor. I don't know the specifics of it, but look at what is happening right under the FBI's nose. Well, it's not even like it's going unnoticed because of ignorance. They know what's going on, but they help to cover it up when it comes to the Biden crime family, when it comes to Barack Obama, when it comes to the Clintons, all of them. So before this sham of an impeachment, I'll just go out on a limb and say it's a sham, because this is what we're used to. This is what we're accustomed to. Now we've got four sham indictments. Before the sham impeachment down in Texas, here's what Ken Paxton said about election fraud at that Heritage Foundation event back in April, clip 5.
What happened during COVID, and it happened in my state, and I want to tell you that story because I think we were able to stop what other states didn't see or didn't try to stop. We ended up having judges in about 12 different counties basically ignore our state law and say, no, because of COVID, we're not going to follow state law. And by the way, these were all very liberal counties. This was Travis County, which is Austin, Harris County, which is Houston, Bexar County, which is San Antonio. They decided they would just mail out ballots to everyone. Well, that means in Harris County, we're talking about close to 2.5 million ballots. In Travis County, over 1 million ballots. In Bexar County, over 1 million ballots. Donald Trump won our state by 620,000 votes. And so we realized that we had a huge issue. We had 12 lawsuits, all in the worst counties, all with judges that were going to rule against us, including the Court of Appeals in each area. And all I could do was say, wow, what a genius strategy by whoever put this together, whether it was George Soros or somebody else. Somebody thought this up because it was too well organized.
It was very well organized. A genius strategy, he says. And of course, what he goes on to say, one of the other clips we'll play, is that he said, if they're doing this in Texas, remember all the chatter about, I think Texas has a chance to go blue. I think people actually like Beto O'Rourke, the fake Mexican. I think they love Beto. This is from America Under Attack. It says, as a number of reports, statistical analyses, documentaries, and other sources have established, the 2020 presidential election was plagued by voter fraud. Again, all in here. Call our operators today if you want to request a free copy, 1-866-930-3024. It says it was organized. It was extensive, just like Paxton is saying there. It was extreme, defiant, and flagrant. And there was someone behind it who had the power, motive, and gall to commit the greatest electoral steal in history. It was not Joe Biden, but he knows exactly who it was. What was worth committing such treason for? The main goal was to restore to power the political machinery of Barack Obama. Why was it worth cheating on such a mass scale? Well, you got to get rid of Donald Trump and make sure Obama maintains his grip on power, carries out the fundamental transformation. It says thousands of people and institutions were directly or indirectly involved. Virtually all of America's top media organizations and personalities were complicit, as well as the powerful tech companies and many of the nation's top politicians. So much of this is undeniable now. Now we know. We have the evidence of big tech covering it up. We have the evidence of them helping
the helping Joe Biden cover the Hunter laptop, cover that up, and then, of course, intimidate Facebook, Twitter, intimidate them into silencing critics. How many different ways? This was a well-organized strategy to steal the election. And now they don't want you saying a word about it. You just keep your mouth shut, or you might just get indicted. You will get impeached. It's happened. It says, but this vast network of lies, corruption, and lawlessness all points back to one man, Barack Obama. As we will see, this epic scandal would not have taken place if not for Obama's leadership of the Democratic Party and the radical left. I mean, even Obama himself acknowledged how important it was. Remember that clip, I think, from 2012 when he talked about how important it was for the progressives to control the machines? I think it was in Ohio. He knew how important the machines were and are. And then all those Democrats lining up about the machines' vulnerabilities before the bad orange man came along, they knew. They know today. They all know. But they want to intimidate you into silence. Don't you dare go to that election summit, Mr. Paxton. You better stay here. I mean, your job's on the line as it is. Here again is Ken Paxton from April, clip 6.
If the ballots go out, the genie's out of the bottle and we lose. Game over. Texas legislature very likely turns Democrat. Some of the Supreme Court members, four of them are up. We lose 4 of the 9. We're in trouble. And very likely Donald Trump loses the election. So I called the president in May and I said, hey, you need to know this. I said, I don't have time to deal with other states, but very likely you've got a very good chance of losing Texas by mail-in ballot. He goes, there's no way I lose Texas. I won by 9 points. I said, yes. But if they have a chance to mail out all these ballots, and I said, I've got 12 cases, if I don't win every single one of them, I have a feeling you will lose. If Harris County can send out 2.5 million ballots, they will just count ballots until they get to the right number. Because when those ballots get mailed out, we don't know who sends them in because there's no signature verification. Anybody can sign those ballots. They can grab as many of them as they want, send them in, claim that they're legitimate, and we can't prove that they're not.
They just keep counting ballots until they win. And we now know, which we didn't know in 2020, there was investigations going on in just one little city in Michigan. 8,000 to 10,000 fraudulent ballots or registration forms. 8,000 to 10,000. That's to get the ballots sent out. See, they were working to get as many ballots sent out in Michigan too, just like they were doing in Harris County around Houston. Ken Paxton had to go to court to stop them from just sending out 2.5 million ballots. You think anyone in Harris County would have filled out a ballot for someone else that maybe didn't even exist? Or maybe do it twice, do the mail-in ballot, and then vote on the same day as well? The operation was well organized. Just like Paxton said in that first clip. It says in America Under Attack, God was using President Trump, but leftists stole the election, and he has been politically exiled. And none of these terribly guilty elites are being prosecuted, much less convicted or imprisoned, because even many of the prosecutors and judges are corrupt. They're just like Fannie Willis. They're corrupt. Jack Smith, deranged, lunatic. He's corrupt. Alvin Bragg, same thing. Some of these people, Letitia James, she was out there campaigning on indicting Trump. Imagine a political platform that says, if I get in there, never mind that I've not seen any evidence of anything. If I get in there, I'm going to indict Trump. I'm going to try to send him to prison. I'll think of something. It's the way they operate. Demon inspired, to be sure, says that's the way things work in the swamp. They have the power and the control. How can you win against that? How can you win if they rig the election itself? How do you win in an environment such as this? Listen again to Ken Paxton, number 7.
I said, the reason I'm calling you is not to tell you about the trouble I have in Texas. The reason I'm calling you is because I'm worried that this is going on in other states. And so I can't deal with other states. I can't deal with wherever this is happening, but I'm guessing if it's happening in Texas, and it's such a significant strategy that I can plainly see in front of me, it's got to be happening nationwide.
This is why they had these enormous spikes in the dark of night, 1:30, 2 a.m., November 4th, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, straight up. That's right. Joe Biden went to bed. He was behind in all those states. And then he woke up with the Biden spike, putting him ahead in all of those swing states. Georgia, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan. One more clip from Paxton. This is number 8.
And so, what happened? On election day, I'm sitting there watching the election results, and for the first time in my life, election counting stopped in numerous states, particularly, obviously, battleground states. And it was very clear to me, I knew immediately what was going on, it was very clear to me that what they were doing. They were figuring out how many real votes they had, just like they would have done in Texas, and they were just going to count as many mail-in ballots, because you don't know where those mail-in ballots came from. There's no way to prove that they came from the person that supposedly signed it. And so when I saw what happened in all of these states, and I'll give you an example, Georgia. Georgia, if you go back 4 years prior to that election when Trump won, the margin of victory in Georgia was the same as it was in Texas, almost exactly, same demographics. This time, Trump won by almost 9% in Texas, and he lost Georgia by whatever it was, 40,000 votes? 12,000. How did that happen? Well, guess what? They decided to sign a consent decree that said that they would accept mail-in ballots with no signature verification, mail-in ballots that weren't following state law, and drop boxes. I can tell you what's gonna happen when that happens. You're gonna lose, because there's no ballot security for those votes.
Jeff Duncan says that we need to move on from Donald Trump because he lied to us. He lied to the Republican Party. Who's lying? It's Jeff Duncan, Brad Raffensperger, Brian Kemp, Gabe Sterling. They are lying. They are lying. 2016, Trump wins going away just like he does in Texas. I mean, Georgia's a red state. But then 2020, it's razor thin. And only after they basically suspended state laws, mailed out ballots en masse, put up drop boxes all over Fulton County, and then they just kept counting until they won. You know, that's an interesting point that we haven't given enough attention to either. Why didn't they stop counting in Nebraska or maybe in Maine or even here in Oklahoma? Why was it just Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Arizona? Why did they have to stop counting there, but in all the other states, everything's fine? I mean, we knew who won Florida right away that night. Same with Ohio. But not so in the battleground states, where Joe Biden was behind. And look, they telegraphed it before they even went into the election, saying that there's going to be the red wave, but just sit tight. You know, we're going to keep counting for days. We have to. I mean, there's ballots. There's absentee ballots all over the place. So we got to give people time to mail them back in. It's not election day any longer. Now it's election week. This is an attack against America. It's an attack. And they know there was cheating on a mass scale. All of them do. All of these elites that get up there and piously talk about how Donald Trump is the evil guy and all the rest of us are righteous. Donald Trump has his faults. We'll be the first ones to admit that. But he didn't cheat his way to victory in 2016. And he didn't go into office looking to line his pockets with cash from the CCP. He didn't sell out the United States to some foreign adversary. I played that clip for you yesterday about courage. Look at what this man has had to stand against. He could have had a much easier, more carefree lifestyle, just enjoying his billions. As it is, he's taken a stand for America. This was Newt Gingrich the other night on Fox News, clip 1.
That it is Barack Obama who corrupts the Justice Department. It is Hillary Clinton who routinely breaks the law and gets away with it. And now we have Joe Biden, who's learned. He's learned from Obama that doesn't matter what you do, if you're a liberal Democrat, you will not be prosecuted. He learned from Hillary that a person in high public office can get millions and millions of dollars. And they learned from watching Donald Trump that a true outsider willing to take on the entire system could destroy their entire machine. So what you're seeing across the country is a desperate last-ditch effort by a corrupt machine to destroy their most dangerous opponent in a way which not only breaks the Constitution, destroys the rule of law, and establishes a moment of bitterness, which I think will last for a generation or more. I think this is going to be a horrendous period, and we just need to understand the people who want to control America and dictate to the rest of us will break any law, lie about any topic, and manipulate the system any way they can. And that includes a lot of the elite news media.
The people, just think about that last statement for a moment. And now some commentators are coming around finally to actually consider the evidence of fraud. But just think about that last statement. These people who want to maintain control will break any law. They will tell any lie. And the thing of it is, for 3 years now, there have been a lot of commentators, just like Newt Gingrich, who have said things just like that, except for when it comes to the 2020 election. In that case, they all kept the laws. They all observed the laws perfectly. God's exposing these traitors. He's exposing them. And even commentators like that are beginning to come around and say, you know what, given what they're doing, look at these indictments, the sham impeachments, the way they spied on Trump, the way that they used leaks strategically, the way that they conspired on January 5th, to take January 5th, 2017, I should say, to bring down Trump. And through it all, it's been going on for 8 years. We're supposed to believe that the election, the 2020 election, was perfect, that it was perfectly secure, that it was the most secure in history. They're indicting Trump in Georgia in a very similar way that they are in D.C., Jack Smith in D.C., for a thought crime. How dare he contest the election results in Georgia? This is from the Federalist. It says here, the Fulton County prosecutor indicted Mark Meadows for soliciting phone numbers from a pair of Pennsylvania lawmakers. And this is a quote from the indictment. Meadows sent a text message to U.S. Representative Scott Perry in Pennsylvania and stated, and here's the text, here's the damning text. Can you send me the number for the speaker and the leader of the Pennsylvania legislature? The president wants to chat with them. The indictment says later, this was an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy. Getting a couple phone numbers. So Mark Meadows is dragged into this. He's now part of the conspiracy. So Meadows, he's got to get his team of attorneys. I saw some tweets yesterday from Jenna Ellis. She's another one of the co-conspirators. She's raising funds online. She's got to get tens of thousands to defend herself as well against this. Meadows is part of the conspiracy because he contacted a couple guys in Pennsylvania and said, hey, can we have your phone number? Can you believe this? It says here, Act 22 cited in the Georgia indictment charged Trump with conspiracy for encouraging supporters to watch hearings broadcast on One America News Network. Uh-oh, you can't go over to OANN. I mean, they're right-wing radicals over there. She's bringing this up in the indictment, hoping to send Trump off to prison for years and years and years. And she's saying, look at what he did. He encouraged his followers to watch TV. Can't make this up. Act 38 of the criminal indictment charged Giuliani for retweeting a Patriot call to action that encouraged voters to call their members of Congress to advocate for their cause. Yeah, just like Trump did at the Ellipse. Look, we're going to go down to Congress and we're going to offer encouragement to these senators and congressmen who are going to examine the evidence of voter fraud. You mean you can go to jail for this now? It says the tweet stated, Georgia Patriot call to action. Well, again, here's defendant David Schaefer was indicted for reserving a room at the Georgia Capitol in December 2020, reserving the room, which was used for a meeting of alternate presidential electors, was declared by prosecutors, and you guessed it, an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy. Who's guilty of conspiring to overthrow a sitting president of the United States, to overturn an election? You've got more. Encouraging special legislative sessions. That's a conspiracy. This is all in the indictment. Phone calls to lawmakers. That's a conspiracy. You can't call lawmakers and say, hey, you should investigate the fraud. You can't do that. You can't call Zelensky and say, hey, that Biden family might be corrupt. You might want to look into it. That's a crime. The way the communists view it, that's a crime. So here's this joke of an indictment put together by just an immature teenage mind, basically, who hates Donald Trump, Trump derangement syndrome on steroids. And listen to Jeff Duncan, just to come back to this former lieutenant governor of Georgia, who says, we need to move on from Trump. We need to hit the reset button. He makes some comments about Trump here at the start. And then he's asked about Fannie Willis's indictment. Listen to what he says, clip 10.
You know what, Poppy, I'm going to be critical of my party. I'm going to be critical of those that are running for president in my party. I'm going to be critical of governors and senators. They know the right thing to do here. The right thing to do is to call Donald Trump out for lying, misleading us, and taking our Republican Party straight to the ditch. That's what's happened here. And until we all want to stand up and speak as loudly and clearly as we possibly can, that the Republican Party needs to use this as a pivot point to hit the reset button, to go to a GOP 2.0 that really gets us back to talking about the policies.
Did you get any sense that Fannie Willis and your interactions with her during this process or her team was politically motivated? I think the former president called her a rabid partisan, or that the grand jury itself was out to intentionally get the former president.
Look, that's Donald Trump's game. Every time he gets put in a corner, he fights like a kid, right? He calls names. There's no merits behind it. I certainly didn't encounter any of that. It was a very professional process, a very well-informed district attorney's office, a very well-informed jury that asked very intellectual questions throughout the process.
Wow, the jury asked intellectual questions. That's at least comforting. It was a very professional investigation. The one where there were all the leaks from the grand jury, and you had the 13-year-old grand juror that was on TV, you know, just kind of giddy with delight at the thought of subpoenaing Trump at some point. You had the indictment posted and then deleted and then later posted. And then all of the changing stories there. Well, we just put up it wasn't the real indictment. It matched exactly the same as the one that appeared later that night. Who's the real children here? Trump is a kid? Trump's just, that's the way he responds. He just name calling. Let's just move on. It's wishful thinking on their part, isn't it? They're trying and trying and trying, but they just can't get rid of the bad orange man. His popularity is as high as it's ever been. And we're here to say that somehow, some way, there's a lot of cheating that goes on, and I'm sure there will be in 2024 if it goes that far. But somehow, some way, he's coming back. It's in America Under Attack. Make sure you call our operators today and request your free copy. You are listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show. And of course, we'll see you tomorrow.